today on Real Radio.
God wants your life to start brand new today. And all of the past can be washed away. And who wasn't in this room abused? How long are we going to look at it until we look at Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I press on. I press forward to you to know the high calling that's in you. Jesus, take my life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Rewards, is in the book of 2 Thessalonians, talking about chapter 1, verses 5 through 12. The Apostle Paul wrote his second letter to the Thessalonian church because of his deep concern for their hardships, and he wanted to encourage them. This young church needed the grace and the peace in their lives that only comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. They continually faced persecution, so Paul wanted to remind them that difficulties are a part of their journey as a Christian. But the time will come when Jesus will be glorified and they will be forever with the Lord. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that every road does not lead to heaven. The only way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. The price he paid on the cross covers our sins and gives us salvation. God's desire is that none should perish, but rebellion will bring punishment and separation to those who deny Christ. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The word righteous means it is right, it is just, it is holy, it is good. Aha! See, God is mean. No. Look at the word repay. This is cool. The word repay is to give you what you ask for, to give you according to your labor. You go around punching little old Christians and knocking them down on the crosswalk, and God is going to someday punch you and knock you down on the crosswalk. That's what the word repay means, to give you what you ask for, to give you what you're working for. Isn't that interesting? Hey, I'm doing this now. Repay me. Okay, here's $20. That was the deal. And the guy walks away fine. The world says, repay me. And God says, okay, the wages of sin are death. And what do you think God does? Oh boy, got him now, little guy, I'm gonna smash him. Oh boy, that's gonna be such a pleasure to stop that little creep. He doesn't do that. It already says in the Bible, he weeps over the death of the wicked. But God's holy, remember, and he's loving. And he says to all of mankind, get away from your sin. Paul is telling these guys, this church, listen, those people who are coming against you, if things don't change, God is going to deal with them. And people, you can get on an airplane and go to any part of the world today. You can go to the deepest, darkest jungles of Los Angeles or Africa. And every man, woman, and child has a sense of right and wrong in their heart. I don't care who they are. You can go to the most, the most backward cultures in South or in Africa or in some remote areas of India, and they seem to be more civilized than we are now. They don't even have locks on their huts. They just lay down and go to sleep. Nobody, you don't kill somebody at night. You kill him in a war. You don't kill him at night while he's sleeping. They have a morality. It's amazing. But every culture in the world, there's this morality of the heart where this is right or this is wrong, and God knows. And man knows. And Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 1 that God has put his existence in the heart of every man and woman created. So that the little guy running around with his grass skirt knows about the eternal existence of God. He may worship gods or God. He may be off base in his worship. He may be wrong in his worship. But the Bible says that God has revealed himself to that little African guy running around who the Baptist missionaries never got to. God is speaking to him. And that man will be held accountable to the light that's been given to him. The thing is, right now in this sanctuary or in the hearing of this message, where are you at with Christ? What are you doing with him? And Paul says, these who are rejecting and pushing him away and coming against you, there is a day, if they continue in that state, that they will be judged. And God doesn't want to do it. You're making them do it. He doesn't want to. Now, this is interesting. We're going to dive in a little, and it might be kind of dry for you. I think it's kind of awesome. Is verse 7. You can take your pen and mark a big parenthesis around verse 7. The whole verse, a big parenthesis. Because, in fact, verse 7 is called in theology a parenthetical insert. Big name, big word. It means that, and it happens to us all the time. It means this. You might be talking to somebody, and you say, "Hey, Bob, this is where I want you to go. And I want you to go down there. Nice shirt. Anyway, turn left on Euclid." That was a parenthetical insert. Did you get it? Nice shirt. Paul does this right here. Watch and read along with me, verse 6. He says, "Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you," verse 8, "in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God." Do you see how that flows? Verse 7, he just drops it right in, and it's an amazing thing, guys. Verse 7 is a reference to the rapture of the church. He says, "Oh, hey, by the way, to give you who are troubled rest." The word is leisure, rest, repose, relaxation with us. "When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." A reference to the rapture, not the second coming. It's very important. And you'll see how important it is in a moment. He goes right into verse 8, and he says, "in flaming fire." Now, this is interesting because the word you're thinking in the English is Jesus comes out of the heavens with, you know, he's throwing lightning bolts and fire and just kaboom. That's not what it means. In fact, the scripture that correlates to this is Matthew 24, 27, where Jesus says, "Out of the west unto the east shall lightning go, move across the sky, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man with all of his glory and the great second coming." When Jesus comes, he will come like lightning shoots across the sky from the west to the east and from the east from the west to the west. And when he comes, the Bible says this word here means successive lightnings. Interesting. Successive lightning over and over again. When he comes, it will be a terrible thing. And that's called the second coming. Don't confuse the two with the rapture or the second coming. They're mutually exclusive in every way. But he gives them a little bit of hope at verse 7. But right in here at verse 8, he says, "in flaming fire, taking vengeance on," watch this, "number one, on those who do not know God." Number two, "on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Two types of people. And this is important. Those who do not know God. The word means here in the original Greek scripture, it means this: those who will not know God. Ooh. Anybody know somebody like that? Man, I do. "Hey, you know what? How you doing today?" "Fine. You know what? I got to share with you what happened at church." "I don't want to hear it. I just, you know what? God loves you." "Don't tell me that." You know anybody like that? They will it in their heart not to know God. Romans already says that his invisible attributes are clearly seen, known by those of whom he's created. It goes on to also say that there's judgment coming to those who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. It means to take the truth and to drown it underwater. "I don't want to hear it." You know, listen, I don't know if I'm going to unsettle somebody here right now this morning, but I love you. I really do. But I've been a Christian for 18 years. I have never had, and I've worked with a lot of PhDs, and I have never had one person in my life ever give me a reason why they're not a Christian. You know what the word reason means? It means logic. It means a train of thought that is excellent. Reason. You know what I've heard? I've heard the same thing you've heard. "I don't want to hear about it, Jack." "Well, why not?" "Because my Sunday school teacher ripped me off when I was 5. That's why you don't want to talk about God? Or, "My wife left me." That's why you don't want to talk about God? "My father was a pastor and he was a fake." That's why you don't want to talk about God. Who in the world saw your father hanging on a cross? And who said that your wife would be your salvation? You got your eyes in the wrong spot. Jesus went to the cross and died for us. What has he ever done to you but bless your life? And you might say, I've been abused all my life. Listen, not half as much as perhaps that person wanted to do, and God stayed their hand and brought you to this moment to hear his hope. You think your life's over because you were abused or hurt? God wants your life to start brand new today. And all of the past can be washed away. And who wasn't in this room abused? How long are we going to look at it until we look at Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I press on. I press forward to you to know the high calling that's in you. Jesus, take my life. It's awesome. There's a brand new life that can be lived. And people will either accept that truth or they will, in their own heart, they know that God exists and they will suppress it and reject him to the bitter end and they'll die in a Christless eternity and God is weeping over your condition. But he will never violate your will. Can you imagine walking, going home to your family and your kids? Come here, honey, tell daddy you love him. Love you. Give me a kiss. Give yourself a kiss. Jump in my arms. Why? I mean, that's dead. But man, if your car pulls up in the driveway and you turn the door and they just come running and tackle you, no words need to be said. God has given you the ability to choose. Love is choice. Love's not a feeling. It's not like, oh man, every time he walks by, I gotta get it. It's probably the cologne or something setting off some chemical reaction in your brain. Love is, you know what? I'm gonna choose to love that girl or that guy. That's commitment, by the way. Commitment is totally devoid and opposite of feeling. God says, I give you a choice, you choose. I want to have a love relationship. God says, I don't want religion. The world's full of religion. I want to have a relationship. And I'm going to put within you the ability to choose. And you can respond to my overture of love. And the world says, get out of my face. And God will answer at least one of every person's prayer in human history. At least one prayer will be answered. When people say, I don't want anything to do with you, God. God will eventually answer their prayer. We'll get to this in a moment. There's another group of people, and it is those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is serious stuff. I'm going to say it and let you write me letters. This word means, this sentence means to establish your own salvation. They don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does anybody know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is? According to a recent poll, many professing born-again Christians don't know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. You know what that means? It means they can't be saved. You have to know what it is that you're trusting in. It's amazing. So, they don't obey the gospel. What is the word gospel? It means good news. So what's the good news? Jesus said, I'll die on the cross. The sins of the world, 3 days later, rise from the dead. The gospel is, if you believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, you confess that with your mouth, the Bible says you shall be saved. Don't have to be baptized? You don't have to be baptized to be saved. Should you be baptized? Of course. It doesn't save you. You get baptized because you're saved. It's like if you're Jewish in the Old Testament, you get circumcised because you're Jewish. Circumcision doesn't save you. In the New Testament, so is baptism. It's faith in Christ. Paul says, I haven't come to baptize people, I've come to preach the gospel. It's faith in Christ. And if we don't do that, we go about, the Bible says, to establish our own way of righteousness. Listen, and here's where you're going to get a little bent out of shape, but somebody's got to tell you. This pulpit is lined in lead. No, kidding. It's kind of skinny, though. If you are trying to get to heaven, in any other way than what's prescribed in the Scriptures, you are disobeying the gospel of Christ. The key is to know the gospel. People on their 10 speeds come into our doors in twos are beautiful people. They have a whole different gospel. They have a whole different Jesus. It's not the same as the Bible. They're calling themselves Christians and they're not. And I know it for a fact. And I've been there. And it's a lie. The message is totally different than what the biblical message is. And they're not obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, but in fact are establishing a new one that's like 189 years old. And then you got beautiful people who know, they can outquote you, hands down, Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses, beautiful people. Beautiful people. They have a gospel that says you can earn your way in. People, you take any cult in the world, and they will deny hands down two things. The gospel of Jesus Christ as revealed in the Bible and the deity of Jesus Christ himself. And an interesting thing too, they do not believe in hell. Isn't that convenient? Oh, you know, follow them all kinds of ways. Make your own way. Follow good. There's many ways to God. It's true. Every road leads to God. Everybody's going to stand before God in one day. Every road leads to God. You want to ask the key question. You know, you get smart by asking questions. You know, that's how they evaluate your intelligence. You ask a lot of questions? Ask. And here's the question you should ask. Will this message get me to heaven? Because all roads lead to God, but does all roads lead to heaven? Do all roads lead to heaven? No, only one. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father but through me. That's a truth. They don't obey the gospel. Look at verse 9. These, who? Those in verse 8. The people in verse 8 shall be punished with, what does it say? Does it say everlasting destruction in your Bible? Can you believe it? It even says that? You know what the word everlasting destruction means? It means everlasting destruction. Because there are people who say, no, no, that can't be. Listen, they're good Christians. Maybe they're sitting in this room today. They're saying, that can't be. There is no way that my God, who I love, is going to allow somebody to be in torment forever. Listen, I don't like it myself. I don't like it myself, but I know my God enough to know that He's reasonable and fair and just and holy and good. It does say in many portions of Scripture, it is forever the punishment, which causes me to think for a minute, if that is the end of those who reject Jesus and reject His gospel, if that is their end, then what kind of a ball game are we playing in anyway? Is there a lot more at stake than I perceive? Is sin much greater than I have thought it is? Could it be that when evil is done on this earth, that it's just as evil in heaven and in front of God? Could it be that the price that Jesus paid on the cross was so great and can save you so much that what is fair, just, righteous, and good demands everlasting pain? That's the conclusion I have to come to. I'm not talking about you. I must have been so bad as a sinner until June 27, 1977, when God saved me. I must have been so bad as a sinner that you couldn't die for me. Gabriel couldn't die for me. Neither could Michael, the archangel. Jesus came and died for me. I was that bad. I had a nice car. I had a great paying job. I had girls. I had money. I looked good on the outside, and God looks on the inside and He says, man, you are dead. You're naked. You're sick. You're corrupted. You're selfish. And Greg Laurie laid that on me Monday night. And I died that night, thank God. Because that's the night I began to live. You see, the Bible says it's forever. That means the price that was paid must have been tremendous, and we can't even fathom what God did on the cross for us. It says what it says. And he's going to recompense. He's going to pay them for what they've done. He didn't make them do it. And here's the saddest thing of all. It says, from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. People, listen to this carefully. Verse 9 says this. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Doesn't it sound like that destruction is going to come out from the presence of the Lord and consume them? Or doesn't it sound like that? They're going to be destroyed eternally from the presence of the Lord. The word means, and this is the hell of hells. Can you believe this? This is where God does not want you to go. This is where he put his son at the focal point of humanity so you don't go there. Jesus said, hell is a place where you tread water in a place called the lake of fire, and your head's just above water, and the water's all on fire. The flames are burning. Jesus said, it's a place where the worm does not die. It constantly consumes you. Everlasting means everlasting. Destruction here means an everlasting destruction that never comes to an end. There's always enough to experience more destruction. It is a place so horrible and hideous. It's a place that the Bible says is absolute outer darkness. Oh man, I had a guy tell me not too long ago, I'm going to party there with my friends in hell. I said, it's a lake of fire. He goes, thought he was cute. I'm going to get asbestos water skis, dude. There's no friends there. You're in outer darkness, absolute isolation. And here's the part that drives me nuts. Jesus says it's a bottomless pit. You're forever falling. I hate that feeling. I can fly airplanes and have a good time doing it. And we're going over in a storm, and I love it. I just like the cups flying and people hanging on. I think it's kind of cool. Great time to give a message when the flight is like, and the wings on that thing. I don't mind that. There's a bunch of people came to first service, and they went to Magic Mountain today. You know what they're going to do? They're going to go to this one ride. I think it's called the Free For All or Dropout or whatever it's called. I think that ride's from hell. Whoever thought of that ride? And they strap you in that thing. And they push you out and down. And there's lunches coming out all over the place. And they come down to the end and they go, oh, isn't that great? That's nuts, man. That's sick.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Rewards. Thanks for listening, and be encouraged. God will bring fulfillment of all his good pleasure to those who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And before we let you go today, I want to remind you about our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great website, real easy to point and click around and get what you need from Real Radio. We've got a lot of resources there. We've got sermons, we've got YouTube, we've got the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. That's a great app for you to spend some time on. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, do you get our Real Life devotions? Shows up in your email inbox every Monday. A lot of folks write into us telling us that the Real Life devotions really make a big difference throughout the week. It's the kind of thing where, you know, if you're sitting in the doctor's office or waiting at the post office, something like that, you can access your email and go look at the Real Life devotions from Pastor Jack. He covers all sorts of different topics, and a lot of folks are really, really happy with the Real Life devotions. You can simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, have a look at the devotions, and listen, when you're done with that, go to your app store, whether you're on Apple or Android or whatever. Go to the app store and get the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. That's a real easy way to access everything that is Real Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.